All right, nice to have you back with us as we get ready for Giants baseball today. The Giants wrap up this road trip. They are 4-5 on the trip right now, and they've lost 2 of 3 to the Marlins, and they turn to Jacob Junis today against Braxton Garrett. Bill and Kerry are on assignment today, as they like to say, so it's me doing the whole show today. It's like the old days, and I'm going to do the post-game show today as well. Well, it's a pleasure to bring in Matt Falcon. He's been a nice contributor to our show this year. Did some beautiful work on the Jackie Robinson and Buster Posey and predictions. And Matt Falcon, nice to have you with us on this Sunday morning.
Great to be here, Marty. I appreciate you having me on.
No, we're glad to have you on. And just so folks remember some of the things about you, play-by-play voice of San Jose City College on their softball team. And you're on a club team, right, at San Jose State. Is that right?
Yeah, we played a little baseball this year at San Jose State. The season just recently ended, and so now I'm just excited to see what other opportunities are out there.
Yeah, and you have a possibility of trying out for an organized baseball team, I hear.
Yeah, I got a phone call about an opportunity to, you know, go to one of the tryouts and, you know, show what I have, do a little showcase and talk to some people, shake some hands, and we'll just see where the game takes me after that.
I love it. All right, good to have you with us on this Sunday morning. Let's talk a little Giants baseball first. As I've talked about it on the show this morning, we're getting near that one-third mark. And look, you play the game, you talk about the game, and you know the game cold. What's your take? Maybe let's start with pitching, and then we'll talk a little defense. So what's the pitching story for you so far?
You know, it's unfortunate because the pitching this year, it looks like the Giants have all the pieces. You know, they lost Kevin Gausman in the offseason, and so you bring in Carlos Rodon, and you look like you have the pieces with Webb coming off the great postseason he had. And they were off to a great start. The Giants started hot like they did last year, and then they kind of hit a wall. They had a little skid there in April, and so it just kind of threw things off. And I think the expectations coming in were so high for the pitching staff, considering how well this team pitched last year, and it's a majority of the same guys that are back on the team. And so the fans and even the players themselves, each other, they hold themselves accountable and they expect to do well. And I think they just got humbled by the game of baseball a little bit, and it's kind of having an effect in the clubhouse. And we're seeing a lot of the same kind of switches, pitching changes. The leash is not as long. Some of the same things we saw in the 2020 shortened season from Gabe Kapler that are kind of, you see the effect of it with Logan Webb's reaction yesterday and then how the team kind of ended up losing that game. So some of the things that you're seeing are similar to what we saw at the very beginning of Kapler's tenure, and that could have an adverse effect.
How about the bullpen? There's been some good arms out of the bullpen. They're being used a lot, and I brought that up on the show today, that they're, you know, coming in the fifth and sixth inning and having to give him 14 outs and stuff like that. And he's pretty good at balancing everything, but this is only June, and the Brebbias of the world, Littells of the world, the Rogers of the world, Alvarez, Garcia, McGee, Doval, that they're the guys, and they seem to pitch just about every day.
Yeah, and it starts to have that effect where mid-season form kind of has to come early in April and May, and then by the time you get to the All-Star break and beyond, your arm's just not as sharp as it once was, and then you have, you know, every team's going to have a player or two that's battling injuries. Jake McGee was kind of that guy for the Giants, and we're just now seeing him get back to his form. I think he was up to 98 miles per hour on his fastball. But with the starters not going into the game as deep as they were at the beginning of last season, for instance, you have this effect where it's like you got to start bringing a lot of minor league guys. You got to start having guys that never pitched in the major leagues before take innings. We saw Sean Gelly. We see him getting, you know, more innings because we're not getting the Carlos Rodons and the Logan Webbs and the Alex Cobbs of the world to go deeper into games. Dee Sclafani is hurt, and these things have an effect on the longevity of a bullpen over 162 games.
Boy, interesting. Matt Falcon is with us. And with all that said, you know, if the playoffs started today, the Giants are in it. They'd be playing Milwaukee if the playoffs started today. And we've got a good story ahead of us, and that's why we love the game of baseball. Let me ask you this. Let's talk a little hitting first. Yastrzemski, and I made this point before we went into Scott Reese's interview, and that is Mike Yastrzemski, to me, is just having a tremendous season on base, slugging. But what he did yesterday, and I don't know if you could appreciate it like I did, but I thought it was great. He did the decoy, catching that last fly ball and trying to decoy Luke Williams into leaving early from third. He doesn't chase. He hits with power. I think he's having a tremendous season, and he's a thinking ball player. I like it.
Yastrzemski is, I mean, look, it runs in the family, right? Just great ball players running that family. But he's a lot more locked in, and I think we're seeing the same Yastrzemski we saw in 2020, whereas in 2021, it seemed like he was chasing a lot more. He struck out over 130 times for the season. This season, you're seeing him a lot more patient at the plate. It's less strikeouts. It's more walks. He had only 51 walks the entire season and 139 games played in 2021. He's already got about half of that here in 2022 with only 43 games played. So he's a lot more patient at the plate. He's waiting. He's allowing the ball to get deep, and that's allowing him to spray the ball to all fields, which is going to, in turn, start eliminating the shift on him. It's going to be hard to start putting a guy taking a guy off the left side of the infield if he's going to slap one down the left field line. So that's going to help the batting average, and allowing yourself to hit that way is just going to be great for, you know, the numbers, and you see it in his batting average. And then hitting well always affects the overall play of a player. I don't care what level you're at, no matter how good you are, how athletic you are, you always have that extra juice on the defensive side or on the base pass when you're hitting the ball well, and that's starting to have an effect on Mike Yastrzemski's overall game.
Boy, I'm with you on that. I agree with you. What position do you play?
I'm an outfielder. They're trying to get me to grab an infield position. They tried me out at shortstop, and it's a challenge. I actually got a chance to speak to Brandon Crawford about it, and his advice was footwork, footwork, footwork. But it's definitely a challenge mentally, because you got to be locked in every pitch. You got to be moving every pitch. You got to know what pitch is coming so you can adjust accordingly. Whereas in the outfield, you kind of just look at the card and, you know, space yourself out. So it's definitely a challenge, but outfield is my main position.
Well, look at the Giants, and, you know, it's good to be versatile. You know, they've got guys who play all over the place. If you're looking at Vossler, Walton, Estrada, go to the outfield. You know, they do it at the major league level. We're talking about doing it right now for you. Imagine how hard it is at the major league level to do that.
Yeah, I can't imagine. It's tough, because you have to be able to know what you're going to do with the ball before you get it, whether it's hit softly, whether it's a line shot at you, and then be able to make adjustments accordingly based on the speed of the base runners and, you know, how many outs there are and different things like that. Who the pitcher is also plays a big role. If you know you got someone like Duvall pitching who's throwing 101, you know, that's different than somebody, you know, that's maybe not throwing 101, maybe tops out at like 94, 95. That can have a big impact on the way an at-bat goes. So being on top of all of that with the different arms and names and faces and things like that, there's always a lot more power at the major league level than there are at other levels. And so you just got to really, really be sharp and be locked in.
Boy, it's great. Nice talk with Matt Falcon this morning. I love having you on and getting your perspective on baseball and just the team in general. If there was one thing you think the Giants have to change sooner rather than later, what would it be for you?
You know, the low-hanging fruit is always to say, oh, the Giants got to go get a big bat. Giants got to go get an arm. It really is just a matter of staying healthy. That's like the biggest thing right now is health. You know, Brandon Belt's out. DeSclafani's out, and these are, you know, big players. These are guys that have a big role. Alex Cobb is to start, and like when you have players that are impact players, you know, guys that are fringe MLB players, I'm not going to sit here and say that they're not important, but it doesn't have as major an impact as when your starters are out. Lamont Wade Jr. is still out. We're just seeing Evan Longoria come back, and how great has he been as far as like the home run ball. So it's important that this team stays healthy, because those are basically the mid-season acquisitions that you would think the Giants would want to make when the offense is struggling or when the pitching staff is struggling. Instead of going out and getting a bat, you get back someone who can be a big bat in the lineup. And now Evan Longoria is back, for instance, hitting in the middle of the order. when Wade comes back, he's going to be hitting at the top of the order. When Belt comes back, he's going to be hitting third or fourth. So health is wealth when it comes to this team, because they have so much versatility. They have so much power. They have a lot of talent. This is a 107-win team that just added Jock Peterson. So that's a great team. They can figure this out, but they got to stay healthy.
Good one. Good. Well said, Matt Falcon. Very well said. Baseball. And Joe Posnanski wrote a beautiful column about this, the uniqueness of baseball. What is it about baseball? What drew you to baseball? Why do people love baseball so much? What is it about baseball?
Marty, I wish I had an answer. baseball is, I say this all the time to my teammates, to my friends, baseball is a stupid sport. It's a round ball and a round bat, and it's moving and it's dancing, and you hit the ball 105 miles an hour and somebody catches it and you're out. But you hit the ball 65, it's a bloop, and it lands in no man's land, and you're standing on second base. I don't get it. I just fell in love with watching the ball fly out of the ballpark. I was born in 1995, giving away my age, and when I started comprehending baseball, Barry Bonds was a giant, and he was hitting balls 450, 475 feet out of the ballpark. And it's just mesmerizing, and I look at it and think, I want to do that. I think I can. You know, and you just get so wrapped up and caught up in it that, okay, I'm going to try. I even tried to be a left-handed hitter, you know, because of Barry Bonds. And when I realized, okay, I'm a right-handed hitter, you start seeing, you know, results. Like, oh, I'm hitting the ball pretty hard. Now this is fun. And you just fall in love. And once you're in love with the game, you're stuck. There's no going back.
I love it. I love it. And that's true. Once you're hooked, I like to say, into the soap opera of baseball, you can't wait for the next day and the next story. Very quickly, as we wrap it up with Matt Falcon, Warriors today, you have a thought about them? It's a big day in the Bay Area.
Yeah, it's a huge day. This is very important, game two of the NBA Finals. There's no way that the role players of the Boston Celtics are going to shoot the way they shot from three-point range all series long, much less in this game on the road, in a game two where the Warriors are going to be playing with a lot more desperation. So I expect the Warriors to come out and win this game at home. And if you can get a split in Boston, then you're looking at a three-game series with the Warriors having home court advantage. That bodes well for the Warriors. So I do still have a lot of confidence and faith that the Warriors can win the series. But it starts tonight. You got to be focused. You got to be locked in. Don't turn the ball over. I don't know if I'd be able to put any money on a series like this. It's just way too evenly matched. And the teams seem to respond well to adversity. I don't think either of these teams has lost back-to-back games this postseason. So interesting to see how they figure it out.
Boy, it's going to be fun. It's a good sports day. Giants and Marlins, and then later on today, the Warriors, of course, and the Celtics. Matt, thanks for being with us. And it's always a pleasure to have you on and getting your perspective. So have a good day.
Thank you so much, Marty. I really appreciate you.
Anytime. Matt Falcon, nice to have him with us. All right, more coming up on our Giants pregame right after this on the Sports Leader. Uh-huh. You're right, Raph. I need to read. Okay. Now it's time for this week's Community Spotlight, sponsored by Chilton Auto Body, with 15 locations to serve you. This month's spotlight is on the food bank of Contra Costa and Solano.